All right, I'm really excited to jump in today because we are going to talk on resurrection. And you thought that was only for Easter. Nope. And if I don't get going like this right here, we could camp out so long. The revelation of a resurrected life and the truth of this and the word of this is like so life-giving. So I'm praying back there, just begging God to just show up, that the Holy Spirit will just penetrate our distractions, the struggles, all the stuff that has affected us from the time we were born, that God's Spirit would just speak through all of that today. So I'm really, really excited. Let's review for a second. By the way, good joke earlier, Danny. That was a good one. That was by one of our youth. Oh, speaking of youth, Colby meant 6th through 12th grade on the youth, not 6 years old or 12 years old. If that was confusing, 6th grade, 12th grade years old, but we'll just fix that. So let's review as we, because next week we're going to end the series of atonement, what atonement is, that what Jesus did. Atonement is just a fancy word for forgiveness of sins, forgiving sins. The last couple of weeks we've looked at the cross that changes our verdict, is that in Christ's atoning work is his sacrificial work on the cross, through the shedding of his blood. We've heard about that, but what does it really do? Well, it changed our verdict. He justified us, declared us righteous and right before God. Without Jesus, by ourselves, we are not right. We are enemies. So what Jesus did is he justified us, declared us righteous. He also redeemed us, that our debt, because sin has a cost, it has a weighty eternal cost. The wages of sin is death, is what Scripture says in Romans 3. But Jesus redeemed us on the cross, fully paid us, didn't just negotiate, he fully paid it. And what Jesus did on the cross was settle our guilt. Then we looked at a couple more atoning language words, the cross closing our distance. So sin separates us from the God of the universe. When sin entered humanity, every human being is born, lost, and separated from God. Every human being needs Jesus, whether the human realizes it or not. So the distance that sin creates is a gap that we can't jump, we can't fulfill, we can't do it. And so Jesus on the cross closed the distance. He reconciled us, which is peace with God. I mentioned being an enemy, right? We are an enemy. We are hostile towards God. That is what sin is. So we are reconciled to God. We are making peace through Jesus with God because we cannot make the peace on our own. And then the most beautiful part of this narrative is not only are we forgiven, we have this substitute, we have this reconciliation, we've got peace, we've been adopted. This is huge. We've been adopted. We've been brought into family. Is that each one of us in Christ, we're given full rights as sons and daughters. That is beautiful. That the pardoning is great, right? It feels good to be pardoned of something. You know, you're forgiven. Thank you. But not only are you forgiven, that enemy has been brought into a family. That distance has been shrunk so much that now you are one with Christ and now you're part of the family, that we are adopted full rights as a child of God. The cross restored our relationship. So we have forgiveness and we have belonging, which are incredible subplots to this complete story. Genesis to Revelation is God's complete story of reconciling human beings back to himself. So forgiveness, belonging, great subplots of the truth of what Jesus did, but it's not the end of the story. And so this gospel, the good news of Jesus, it just doesn't stop with what's forgiven. Like, that's a great story part of it, but it just doesn't stop there. It continues with what's made new. I encourage you to go get a book by A.W. Tozer called The Pursuit of God. I've read it many times over my life, and he makes a great statement in there that salvation, us being forgiven, renewed, is the beginning of the process. It's the beginning of the journey. So we don't just stop at the pardon. We don't just stop at the forgiveness and the belonging. It's more to it, and that's what we're going to jump into today. But there's limits, and here's where humans, we make mistakes. Most people approach life assuming, I'll just try harder. If I try harder, I can change. If I gain insight, knowledge, info, I increase my skill set, I'll improve. Or if I just manage my behavior, I become more disciplined. I am going to eat no sugars. I am going to work out every day. I'm going to abstain from everything that is whatever that's bothering me. If I'm just more disciplined, then I'll be free. Not bad things in those things I just said. But here's the problem where it falls short is we all have limits. Our human limits hit a ceiling. And where we end is where Jesus begins. And so all of your trying, all of your knowledge, all of your discipline, it hits a ceiling. You can't close the gap. You can't make yourself righteous. You can't make yourself whole. And so we live this life assuming these things. And what Christianity, remember we talked about week one that Christianity is Christ. Christianity is the gospel of Jesus as Savior. Christianity does not offer self-improvement, which so many are looking for that. 12 steps to happiness. Live your best life now. Guess what? In Christ, this is not your best life now. Your best life is in resurrection and redemption forever and ever in glory. But Christianity doesn't offer self-improvement. It announces resurrection. And I want all my medical professionals to fact check me for a second. So when a person is dead, like EKG flat, all the necessary resuscitation efforts are done. Can't do the paddle anymore. Can't stick them with the epinephrine. Whatever it is you got to do to try to help resuscitate the compressions. None of it's working. Too much blood loss, whatever. A person is dead. Fact check me on this. You can't fix what's dead. Am I accurate on that one? You cannot fix what's dead. Here's where the gospel engages. The gospel isn't rehab. See, rehab is just taking something that's broken, incomplete, not functioning properly, and try to improve on it. That's what rehab is. It's like, let's get a little bit more functionality. The gospel is not rehab. It is resurrection. It is complete new life. And most of us are trying to live the Christian life assuming improvement is the goal. That's why many of us beat our heads up against the wall. Oh, man. I failed last week. I looked at this. I said this. I did that. The problem is we go to that ditch of self-improvement. Like we can know the gospel message. We can hear it preached. We can get in the word. We can pray. But if we don't break free from trying to improve ourselves and understand that it's just not some ooey-gooey self-improvement message, you cannot improve yourself. Jesus, I need y'all to make sure, don't fall asleep before this one. Jesus didn't come to make bad people better. He came to make dead people alive. We just think, I'm so bad, God. I need to be better. Absolutely. I need to be better. You need to be better. But if it was just about pardoning you, then where's the new trajectory of life? See, Jesus went above and beyond to just pardon you. He said, I came to make you alive. There's power in the life. So we came to make the dead people alive. Well, let's talk about this resurrection, what it means. I'm going to read a bunch of scripture. I just want to make a plug. If you have not seen our new devotional guide, I want to encourage you. If you are, you're kicking butt, right? You got your devotional stuff and you're doing good. Great. Keep on. Hey, proud of you. But if you want to engage with the message a little bit more during the week, each week we're posting a devotional guide that links up with the message where you can go back into scripture. Because the 30 to 40 minutes that I have to just, right? It's like, ooh, what did he just say? My hair's blown back. So we have that on Church Center and the website and our newsletter. So I want to just plug that as a way you can stay engaged. You good? You with me? Amen? Okay, let's jump into the word. Here we go. Romans 6. Let's talk about some resurrection. What shall we say then? This is Paul in Romans 6, 1 through 5. Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? By no means. We are those who have died to sin. How can we live it in it any longer? Or don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Verse 4, we were therefore buried with him through baptism into death in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. For we have been united with him in a death like his, we will certainly also be united with him in a resurrection like his. Skipping down to verse 11. In the same way, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Amen on that. We're united with Christ. We're going to go to 1 Corinthians 15, which, by the way, just a little homework assignment. 1 Corinthians 15 is one of the best explanations of resurrection. Just go there one time and just eat it up. Here we go. Paul says this in 1 Corinthians 15, 20 about resurrection. But Christ has indeed been raised from the dead. Because, by the way, a lot of people were going, no, he just did a really good job of not dying. They just put him in the grave, still alive, and it was a great magical parlor trick. And a lot of people are like, no, Jesus is still dead. No, he's not. Paul was saying, hey, but Christ has indeed been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since death came through a man, he's talking about Adam, by the way, the resurrection of the dead comes through also through a man. Jesus was fully man, fully God. Not what we're talking about today. Just trust me on it. We can do some work on it. Fully man, fully God. For as in Adam all die, so in Christ all will be made alive. And then we'll skip down to verses 42 to 45, and then we're going to talk a little. So will it be with the resurrection of the dead. The dead that is sown is perishable. It is raised imperishable. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. It is sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. If therefore a natural body, there is also a spiritual body. So it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living being. The last Adam, that's Jesus, a life-giving spirit. Now, it's not that you're resurrected to spirit only. It is a full bodily resurrection. Jesus was raised bodily. Paul is making the claim here and asserting that, hey, he is resurrection. The Spirit of God came down and is one that resurrects us. And we're going to have a bodily, physical resurrection. Right now, in this perishable body, we are resurrected spiritually, and then one day we're going to have a new body. So just a few things to summarize here. What Paul is not saying is, in this instant, he's not saying, just try to live like Jesus. Now, we need to follow Jesus. We even talk about here our cornerstone values of say what Jesus said, do what Jesus did, be who he was, like see what he saw. Yes, live like Jesus, follow after Jesus, but he's not saying, hey, just live like Jesus and maybe you'll make it and happen. No, he's saying you are united with Jesus. Like, I really got to hear that. You are united with Christ. The closest thing you might can feel is if you are married, you are one with your spouse. Your children, mothers get this more than anybody because you carry that person inside of you for 9 months, the connection a mother and a child has. You are united. We are united to Christ. His death is your death. His life is now your life. And that is a massive cognitive disconnect at times that we cannot like grasp that, wow, we are dead in Christ. We are alive in Christ and what that brings forward. So what does that mean? Well, it's not this. Resurrection is not just positive thinking. That is infiltrated the church. That's just positive think, you know, no negative vibes up in here. You know, let's get the incense and essential oils and just positive think. It's not just positive thinking, y'all. It's not even just moral motivation. The many of us who walk into church because we're looking for some moral high ground, some moral motivation is way deeper than that. Because I just mentioned earlier our moral limits. We all hit ceilings of those things. Our trying, our doing, our moral capabilities hit a ceiling. Our discipline hits a ceiling. It's not even just a fresh resolve. What is resurrection? Resurrection is new power. Romans 8:11, Alfie just mentioned it. The same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead now reigns in our mortal bodies. How much more will he give us new life? We have new power. Not Harry Potter, ooey gooey, Star Wars power. Cool movies and all, right? We have new power. New resurrection power. Read the New Testament. Like, I don't understand all of it, but when he talks about, hey, you can like tell a mountain to move. Wow, that's pretty, that's a good, wow, that's interesting. You can pray for somebody and like they can become healed. It's not in you, but it's the power of God that's in you. You can speak. We can speak life. Our words matter. We have new power. We have a new identity. Just go read all of Ephesians this week. Go through the entire New Testament. All the language on new. Put off the old. Clothe in the new. Ephesians is a great collection of that. You're new. The old is gone. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Behold, if you're in Christ Jesus, the old has gone. The new is here and arrived. Not the rehab, not the new and improved, not the best version of you. By the way, there's no better version of you. The best version of you died in the tomb with Christ, and now you need to walk out brand new. You have a new, not just new life, you have a new kind of life. Follow with me for a second. When you're alone by yourself, where does your brain go? What are the secrets nobody knows? What are the struggles? What are the things you think about? What are the temptations? See, it's not just new life. You just didn't get pardoned. You have a new kind of life that the Holy Spirit invades your life when you say yes to Jesus, and now your mind can be unlocked and renewed. You have a new kind of life of how you talk, how you see and perceive people. Do you still struggle with even seeing people the right way? Well, that's not living resurrected. And so we have a new kind of life. And Jesus, yeah, he died for you, but he also died with you. Hebrews talks about that because God made us this way in human flesh, it's like God retracing his steps to undo what Adam and Eve did. And he talks about how Jesus came in the form of a human flesh to stand in that place. So that's why he's our perfect advocate, that he can speak for us. It's God undoing. He died for you, but he also died with you. And resurrection isn't just this future hope. We talk about resurrection as what's going to happen one day when I take my last breath here and I go on into glory. Yes, but resurrection isn't just future only. It's a present power. And I'm confessing that I am after 32 years of walking with Jesus, just now starting to really grab on to what it means to walk in this true resurrected power right now. It starts now. Interesting, if you like to read the prophets, go to Ezekiel sometime. It's a wordy stuff, but in Ezekiel 37, God's given Ezekiel prophecy and visions for the nation of Israel, and he takes him after all the prophecies, just some weird prophecies of single eyes and wheels and crazy creatures, and he takes him to a valley, but he's standing in this valley of, it says, dry bones. So there's a bunch of bones. And by the way, to have dry bones means all the skin, tendons, vessels, everything is poof, dust. So they've been dead a long time. They're dead past the stinky dead. You know what I'm saying? Dry bone dead. Like, not there, not good. And so Ezekiel sees this and God says, hey, prophesy, speak to them. And they begin to raise the bones, begin to put ligaments and tendons on the bones. He began to form flesh on the bones. The bones now became back to a person. And then God breathed life into these bones, that they weren't just some like weird mutant kind of like sci-fi creature, which I've seen that. I can't remember if it was the Marvel movies or something like this, some, you know, glowy-eyed monster that came alive just serendipitously. No, this was he breathed life back into these bones. And so dry bones did not just improve, they came alive. These bones were not just sick, they're dead. And the bones didn't just cooperate, oh, yes, sir. No, they're dead and God acted alone. God is the one who initiated. Life comes only when the spirit, the ruah, the breath of God enters them. He said, I spoke life into these bones. God speaks and life happens. This is not self-repair, and we have really got to get this out of our brain. There's days I am so annoyed at my own self not able to repair. Just keep reminding, it is not self-repair. It is new creation. Got to walk this out. Got to walk out the new life. Got to walk out the resurrection. I cannot improve myself. It doesn't mean I am just kind of, hey, Jesus, you do whatever. No, I walk with him, but I have to stand. Remember last week we talked about belief. Beliefs shape behaviors. If you do not truly believe you have a resurrected new life, your behaviors will be shaped by that unbelief. And you'll always strive. You'll always try harder. Maybe you'll accomplish a lot of things, or maybe you won't, and you'll slip off into madness and despair and hopelessness because you can't achieve. Or maybe you'll become arrogant and conceited and fully yourself because you can't achieve. Those are ditches that are not in the resurrected life. God doesn't just reform corpses, he resurrects them. So when the Father raised Jesus bodily from death, he does not abandon this vision of Ezekiel for the nation of Israel. He completes the trajectory in Christ. And see, what there's not a different God in the Old Testament and a different God in the New Testament. There's Jesus in the middle that connects the trajectory of them all. It's all fulfilled in Christ. So if a resurrection is real, what does it actually change? Good question, right? Because I asked myself, what does it actually change? Well, what changes because Jesus rose is sin loses its mastery. Romans 6:6-7. For we know that our old self was crucified with him so that the body ruled by sin might be done away with. That we should no longer be slaves to sin. Remember we talked about that a couple of weeks ago? Jesus replaces you at the slave auction. You're not a slave to sin anymore. Because anyone who has died has been set free from sin. It's not an instant perfection right now because we live in this perishable body that is going to die on this side of eternity. But what it is new authority. See, in Christ, when Jesus rose again, now you have a new master. Now you have new authority in your life. That tomb being empty on Sunday isn't just a good, hey, that's awesome. Jesus, he won. No, you have new authority in that. Sin lost its power because Jesus rose. And because Jesus rose, death loses finality. 1 Corinthians 15 again. When the perishable has been clothed. By the way, this is a great kind of comparison of being lost and now being found and saved. We use that in church, I'm being saved. When the perishable has been clothed with the imperishable. Lost, found. And the mortal with the immortality. Lost and found. Then the saying that is written will come true. Here's what you get to say, and you get to stand up straight and confident and proud with new authority. This is what you get to say because Jesus rose and you rose with him. Death has been swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, he gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Death still exists. You might strain your neck because you slept weird last night. Death exists, but it no longer wins. See, death lost its grip because Jesus rose. And then what ties this all together so it's not just some cute sermon or anecdotal speech is because Jesus rose, hope becomes anchored. Because Jesus lives, the future is secure. Every other major religion or even religious concept in the world all have a hope in a maybe. Every prophet, every spokesperson of every religion, whether it's one God or multiple gods, all have a grave you can go visit. Their hope is in a maybe. Every other world religion says, hey, do these things, jump through these hoops, these laws, build these idols, do these things, and maybe, just maybe, you might appease the God that you're worshiping. But what happens if I miss a morning prayer? What happens if I don't go to the right service? What happens if I don't? Every other world religion is anchored in a maybe. It's like a boat in the middle of the ocean at 3,000 feet depth with an anchor lowered, and it's just wobbly in the water. It's attached to nothing. But in Christ, in Jesus, our hope is anchored to the cross. Our hope is anchored to an empty tomb because you cannot find his body. Our hope is anchored that we have that truth. Our hope is anchored that not did Jesus just walk out of that tomb that we celebrated 3 weeks ago, that we walked out of that tomb with him. Like, can you visualize that, please, just for a second? Don't have time to name all your names. I think I could do it. Maybe not. You see it. You walked out of that tomb, too. You got victory over death and sin. You get new life. You get to turn around and say, death, deuces. See, hope is alive. Hope is a person. And resurrection, it doesn't just reframe death into a better story, because that's why we like Easter so much. Because for one time a year, it reframes death and despair into a better story. But it's not just that. It reshapes our daily life. See, resurrection means that what put me in the tomb didn't keep me there. Resurrection means that on your worst memory, resurrection means that whatever you can go back to and trace to really bad, dark thoughts wherever it occurs, that is still buried in a tomb. And you walk out new. Resurrection isn't just being rebuilt or rehabbed. It's being renewed. It's back to the garden. It's back to Adam and Eve before sin entered. And reason just hit me this week, even including myself, of really walking this out, the resurrected life, is that most of us, we celebrate Sunday, right? We celebrate Sunday, Easter Sunday. The tomb is empty. We celebrated 3 weeks ago. It's exciting. It's fun. It's Christian Super Bowl Sunday. We celebrate Sunday, but we still live like it's Friday. We still live. He's on the cross. There he is, dying for my sins. Yes and amen. But stop celebrating Sunday and live Sunday. It's my reality now. It's your reality now. Like, I don't know how much this is making sense, but like, Sunday isn't just a once-a-year celebration of Christian folklore. Sunday isn't just some thing we read about and we go applauding Jesus. Thank you for walking out the tomb. It isn't just some story of folklore that we look at. It is a reality that we get to walk in right now. And yeah, it's going to take some time to let that sink in. Because living the resurrected life, it doesn't mean that you pretend everything's fine and you ignore struggles. Even Jesus said to Thomas, see my scars? It's interesting the scars are still there. Because everything I read, like, we're getting new. Do I still have my two scars on my knees and my Achilles and everything else? These aren't even my teeth. I probably shouldn't have shared that, but yay. Thought all new, right? No more scars, no more nothing. But Jesus says, look, here's my scars. But yet he was resurrected. It's not pretending you're fine and ignoring your struggles. It means that you depend on the Spirit of God. Here in this church, we believe that the Holy Spirit doesn't just come in you and regenerate you and make you aware of salvation and connect you with the God of the universe. We believe that the Holy Spirit still lives, manifests, and has power in your life, and that you have full reign with the Holy Spirit. We still believe that God heals. We still believe that God speaks and you can hear of him. We still believe that God does some stuff sometimes we don't understand. We believe that the Spirit of God is in you with that power, and you walk out the resurrected life depending on the Spirit each and every day of your life. And walking in newness one step at a time. You know how you start anything? You start. Trick question, right? Anything you start, it's the first initiating act. I believe many times Jesus gave a parable about the sower and the seeds and these different levels of soil. Many of us believers, we get stuck in the third soil, which is where the vines and the briars choked it out. And you couldn't hear. Versus that fourth soil, which is the good soil, which is it thrives. See, the enemy, here's what the enemy does know. He knows his days are numbered. The enemy does not want you or me to really walk out the truth and the belief and the reality of we have a resurrected life in Christ. That there are no strongholds that are stronger than him. There is no mastery of sin anymore. And we walk out the newness one step at a time with each other. We don't just talk about those life groups and service together and these things together. We don't just talk about those things because we want some organization. Quite frankly, full disclosure, I don't care if we meet in the school. I don't care if we get out there at the park every month or whatever you do or go to somebody's house. I really don't care the place we meet. That's my personal thing. Now, we're meeting here because it makes sense. It's 21st century. It's American. Hey, let's do it. We don't do this just because we want a church structure. Just make sure you understand that. We do this because you matter. You matter to Jesus. Our life together matters. And if we want to see healing in the world, we want to see all the stuff that we dream about and think about, it takes us together because the church is God's plan A. But when the church lays in the coffin, still acting dead, then the church has no power. My brothers and sisters, we're here today to live together in resurrected power, to encourage each other, to walk alongside of each other. Those struggles, the lack of pretending, bring it to the light. Guys, it's tough bringing it to the light. It really is. I ain't gonna lie to you. Bring it to the light. It's like, woo, okay. When we do it together, we live resurrected. There's no darkness that can overcome it. What did we just sing? No mountain he won't climb up, no wall he won't kick down, no shadow he won't light up. Coming after us. See, new life is practice, not pretended. You've got to walk it out. And we're going to walk alive a lot of times before we feel alive. Many of us, we go to church services, we go to life groups, we go to places that we want existential, experiential, ooey-gooey, I need to feel it. I just wasn't getting fed there. I didn't feel it. And a lot of times God's saying, hey, walk. Just trust me. Just see the open tomb. Just walk into new life. Just walk it out. Trust me. Take the first step today. Take the next step tomorrow. Just keep taking the steps of belief because those beliefs will shape your behaviors. And you have to walk alive before you feel alive most days. But if you stay in the coffin, get a good night's sleep. Never alive. Worship team can head on up. I want to invite you just to really dig in with the Lord today. I know there are many people in this room that you're stuck in shame. Whether you can put language to it or you recognize it, you're stuck in shame. Because shame is a nasty ploy and weapon of the enemy. Shame is a dirty weapon. But in resurrection, shame is still in the tomb. And I want to invite you to lay that shame down. I want to invite you to hear God's words of, well done, good and faithful servant. Yeah, but God, I did this. I know. I was there. I saw. Shame is in the tomb. Shame is wrapped up and dead. I want to invite you to lay that shame down. I want to invite you to confess victory over that shame and not to carry that mess anymore. Maybe you are exhausted from just trying. Some days I get exhausted from just trying. Trying to do everything. Trying to be a dad. Trying to be a husband. Trying to be a pastor. Trying to be a good friend. Trying to shoot below 80 in my golf game. Right? I mean, just trying. It's exhausting trying because our trying has limits. And I want to invite you to stop trying so hard and start trusting more. Trusting Him. Because what Jesus did now becomes what you do. We are united. And we get to live from, not trying to live from, I got to do. We're living from done. I've preached a lot of messages in the 20, 25 years that I've been doing some of this. And I find myself eating my own words even more today. That it's done. The shame I've walked through, it's done. The trying, I can't. I cannot. Maybe you're here, you believe, you profess Christ, you say all the right things, but you live powerless. I don't have a magic wand, and Jesus isn't some genie to rub the lamp so you can get whatever you ask like that. But there is power. And many of us, we walk around and we wonder, why is my church not growing? Why am I not growing? Why don't we see revival? Why in America we don't see some of the stuff that goes on in other countries, all the healing and supernatural stuff? Why is that only stories in magazines from Africa and Uganda and places like that and, you know, Haiti and the Middle East? Why do we only hear about that over there? It's because Americans, we say we believe, but we live powerless. We really haven't desperately grasped the concept of like that tomb isn't just a celebration once a year. It is a place that holds my shame. It holds my guilt. It holds all the things that are dark. It holds all my sin. It holds everything I've ever done. And it is right there, and I get to walk out in full newness with Jesus. And so in a second, we're going to sing and praise and worship together. We're going to have some folks from our ministry team up here just pray with you. I just want to invite you to do business with the Lord today. Whether you move out of your seat and you pray somewhere else, you do business right there, you want somebody to pray with you, we'd love to pray with you. Maybe today is the first time you realize, you know what? I don't have new life because I've never asked Jesus to save me. I want to invite you to engage the God of the universe and ask him to save you. We have ways you can connect with us. We have a digital tool that we'd love to connect with you where you can text Faith Step to 94,000 and let us know about your questions of baptism. We plan to do baptisms in May. Maybe you've never been baptized. Baptism doesn't save you, but it's a great celebration of what God's done internally in you. Maybe you just have questions about salvation. You don't know what to do. You come here on Sunday like, this is kind of cool, but I don't know what to do. Well, we got that. We also have these little note cards that sit out there on the table by the giving kiosk basket thing. Well, you know what? You got a little tearaway. If you just like old school pen and you want to write your name and just let us know where you're at, drop it in that bucket. We'd love to engage with you. What we don't want to do is you to walk out of here still in the tomb. Does that make sense where I'm going with this? I want us to live because it's accessible right now. Would you pray with me? Father, Holy Spirit, go out before us. Anoint this time, Father. Draw people to you. And if you're sitting there, I want to encourage you. Maybe you got that shame. I want to encourage you where you're sitting. You can pray something like this. My words are not your words, and it's no magical prayer. But maybe I can just help you to put it into language. Where you sit, say, dear God, take my shame. God, help me to walk in the newness of life, resurrected, leaving my shame behind, and walking in the truth that is your love, acceptance, and adoption. Maybe you've been trying too hard. Maybe you're still trying. You can go to God and say, God, forgive me for trying so hard and not trusting you. Holy Spirit, take over my mind and my body, and you use my hands, you use my feet, you use my mind, you use my mouth. Father in heaven, I'm done trying. I want to trust in you. Maybe you need to repent of saying you believe, but you don't trust and live, and that Sunday is just an isolated time in your life, but the other 6 days of the week, there's not really a following. Just simply go to the God of the universe, say, God, forgive me for my unbelief. Forgive me for my doubt. Forgive me for saying one thing and living another. God, I ask for power, the realization of your power in me. If you've never met the God of the universe, you don't have a clarity of what happens to you on the next side of eternity, you can just simply say, God, I recognize I am a sinner and I need you. I confess my sins to you. I give you my life. I believe Jesus rose from the grave and that he is Lord. God, save me. Make me new. I commit to following you all the days of my life. If anywhere in that, it's a place of your heart, something you express to the God of the universe today, just say, let us know. Fill out the card I just told you about. Text Faith Step to 94,000, or let one of our ministry team members just know we can pray with you and celebrate with you. My brothers and sisters, the verdict is changed. Our relationship is restored. And now let's walk out in the truth that life is available. Because just like we celebrated on Easter Sunday, the tomb is empty. And so is the future of death. It is empty. So, Father, we bless you. Father, thank you for the cross. Holy Spirit, come. Flow through us. Holy Spirit, make yourself so miraculously known today. I pray in Jesus' name, shame is gone. I pray in Jesus' name that the striving to work towards something is gone, that we walk in the done of Jesus on the cross, and we walk out in the power of the resurrection. And I pray in Jesus' name that we are a people that don't just talk about it, that we live it, that we're not pretending, that we're vulnerable, we're authentic, and we give no ground to the enemy in Jesus' name. Amen.